RPC Radio.
Radio. Hello, you're listening to Insurance Covered. Welcome to the podcast that covers anything and everything to do with insurance. Coming up in this episode.
So then it dawned on me what a vital role the insurance market could play in easing a politician's woes when it came to no longer being in power. You know, I like to think of it like this. If you're forced out of your home because of a landslide, you can claim on your home insurance. So why shouldn't there be the same insurance for being forced out of your seat because of an electoral landslide?
My name is Peter Mansfield. I'm a partner in the law firm RPC, and in each episode I'm joined by a guest and we discuss an aspect of the wonderful world of insurance. And this week our guest is Avril Lepitra, and our topic is insurance for politicians. Avril started her career as a researcher for a British Member of Parliament. Unfortunately, in 2010, when the MP lost her seat, Avril found herself unemployed. After short spells as a dentist's assistant and then in the fishing industry, she started a new career as an insurance broker. And for over a decade, she worked for a series of brokers in and around Leicestershire. But then, in 2023, she became founder and CEO of a specialist MGA called Adverse Selection, which offers insurance to politicians who lose their seats at elections, which is what we're going to discuss today. So, Avril, welcome to the podcast.
Oh, thanks so much for having me. It's lovely to be here.
As mentioned in the introduction, you spent many years as a researcher for an MP, a member of the British Parliament. What did you research? And when that came to an end, what made you choose insurance as a career?
Yeah, so it's probably easier to discuss what I didn't research. The truth is I would be across everything. And for reasons I can't go into, I ended up finding out a lot of information about Guam. I've never been to Guam, but I can tell you all about it. Do you know about the Guam Kingfisher?
No, I can't say that I do.
Oh, so it's a kingfisher only found on Guam. Very rare. Anyway, so when my time came to an end, I realised that there was a huge untapped gap in the insurance market. And you know how it is, when something's untapped, you've got to tap it. So that's what I did, metaphorically anyway.
Excellent. So we're going to talk today about your new business, Adverse Selection, and the insurance product that you have created for politicians. Briefly, concisely, in a nutshell, please could you summarise for us in short form and kind of preferably in as few words as possible, what the product is and what it is intended to achieve?
Yeah, so we all know the phrase, a week is a long time in politics, and it is completely true. And in that time, an MP might be voted out of office or asked to vacate their seat or forced into resignation. And you know, this happens, you know, genuinely. And witnessing this firsthand is heartbreaking. So then it dawned on me what a vital role the insurance market could play in easing a politician's woes when it came to no longer being in power. You know, I like to think of it like this. If you're forced out of your home because of a landslide, you can claim on your home insurance. So why shouldn't there be the same insurance for being forced out of your seat because of an electoral landslide?
So, in essence, it's insurance for losing MPs. It's losers insurance.
Well, obviously, I wouldn't put it in those terms, mainly because the focus groups we employed emphasised I really shouldn't. If a removal company loses your Queen Anne chair, nobody calls you a loser, do they? Certainly not to your face. So it's time we stop thinking of MPs who lose their seats as losers, just because they technically lost the vote. We've started referring to them as electorally unfortunate. And we really found that that really takes the sting out of the tail, so to speak. Another phrase that comes up a lot, actually, is democratically disadvantaged. So, you know, we all believe in people's right to representation, but who can hand on their heart say that democracy works 100% of the time?
Look, to be fair, that's actually a very fair point. Now, as I understand it, Avril, MPs in the UK who lose their seats are paid compensation of up to £17,300, which is the equivalent of 4 months' pay. That's intended to be enough to allow them to kind of wind up their offices. And I think that's kind of wind up in the sense of close down their offices rather than wind up in the sense of irritate the bejesus out of their former staff members. Although, frankly, £17,300 should be more than enough to do that as well. So given that they already have this form of statutory compensation, what loss could be or would be covered by the insurance?
Yeah, so MPs nowadays have a lot of strings to their bow, feathers in their cap and fish in the sea. It might not just be the MP's salary you're missing out on. You know, there could be television appearances, book deals, podcast contracts, you know, all of which can go out of the window if you're no longer an MP. So we're not just compensating them for the work they were doing, but, you know, for the vast amount of profile building work they could have done. For instance, the after-dinner speaking circuit is extremely lucrative. But, you know, having spoken to a lot of the people that book these events, they become infinitely less interested if the speaker isn't in any way famous or interesting. You know, if, for example, they've been democratically disadvantaged.
Of course, yeah.
Oh, also there's reputational damage. So, you know, if someone impugns your character, you're entitled to compensation. Well, what if your character is that of an MP who wins elections, right? Effectively, what the electorate are doing is bringing your character into question. And it's right that you be compensated for that.
Now, this insurance is obviously available for British members of Parliament, but is it also available to politicians in other countries?
Oh, yes, indeed. Yeah, there's different policies depending on the kind of political work you undertake and the risks involved in that. So, you know, for instance, if you become the leader of a nation with a turbulent political history, maybe one where democracy has all but fallen apart, well, being the person in charge of that sort of situation comes with its own risks, you know, which people should be protected from.
And how does the insurance actually work? Is it limited to politicians who lose their seats at an election, or does it include those who kind of simply choose not to fight their seat?
Yeah, so I think it helps if you think of it like a car crash, right? It's all about identifying who was at fault. Well, it's the same when you think about a political car crash. Was it the fault of the MP? Did they do something stupid? Did they alienate their constituents? Or was it essentially the voters' fault? We find that in about 90% of cases, the voters are the ones at fault. It might be that you chose not to fight your seat for a reason you're not to blame for. Like, for instance, you know, a piece of audio of you saying something awful that you didn't know would be leaked. That's hardly your fault, is it?
Ah, so it can include those politicians who lose their seats because they are forced to resign. Actually, I've got some stats on this. According to the Financial Times, during the course of the last parliament, 34 MPs out of 650 have quit or have been disciplined over claims of bad behaviour. I mean, you could say, couldn't you, that politicians are an immoral hazard?
Oh, yeah, very true. But, yeah, let's return to the car crash analogy. You say an MP has been discovered having an affair. That's the driving equivalent of getting behind the wheel after 5 pints. You're definitely at fault. Now, let's say an MP was discovered doing something unbefitting of their office, but completely morally defensible.
Kind of sort of the rough and tumble of political discourse, that sort of thing.
Yeah, definitely. Well, rough and tumble anyway. It doesn't always involve discourse. It may simply be physical, allegedly. Anyway, it's the equivalent of having 1 pint and then driving. It's not ideal, but it's not technically wrong.
And how's it going? Are politicians buying this product?
Oh, yeah. The uptake has been incredible. The political landscape is so turbulent, people are looking to grab onto any form of security. And to be honest, it's nice just to know we can bring some safety into people's lives. You know, when you look in the eyes of a 65-year-old man who knows whatever the outcome of the election, he'll be looked after. Well, that's what makes it all worthwhile, really. Making sure everyone feels as secure and protected as possible. You know, there aren't many jobs where a group of people can just decide to sack you every few years. And, you know, a lot of people don't know the trauma that comes with electoral defeat. And I like to think we help cushion this trauma.
And I guess this is a very timely product because 2024 is a year of elections. In addition to the UK and the US elections, there are general elections in India and Pakistan, There are 17 elections in Africa, 11 in the Americas, 17 in Asia, and an incredible 35 in Europe. Plus, of course, Palau and the Solomon Islands. Was that a factor in your decision to launch the product?
Yeah, it's actually just a case of excellent timing. You know, I guess I just have an instinct about these things. You know, actually, we've had a number of contacts in from Tuvalu, which I don't think you mentioned. It's a big year for them.
And what plans do you have for the US?
Yes, so obviously we're really hoping this takes off in the States, because in the UK it can be 5 years between elections. You know, in the US it's four, so that's a 20% increase in the number of policies we can sell.
Following on from your driving analogy, when I buy motor insurance, I have to complete a proposal form that tells insurers about me so that insurers can kind of rate the risk. What questions do you ask politicians so that you can assess the level of the premium?
So usually we'll ask a politician, have you lost an election in the last 5 years? And if the answer is no, it's usually safe to insure them. It's also helpful to get a handle on whether they are happily married, whatever that phrase actually means.
Is it okay if I kind of discuss a hypothetical now?
Oh, yeah, of course. Go ahead.
Let's say I'm a politician a British MP, let's say, who won an election in 2019. Now, I'm not going to buy your insurance in 2020 or 2021 or 2022 or even 2023, because in those years, there are no elections. I'm only going to buy your insurance policy in an election year. Isn't that the case?
So, yeah, the truth is, well, I mean, there's always a potential of a by-election lurking around the corner, right? No one is 100% safe. And wouldn't you rather have insurance and not need it than need it and not have it? You know, imagine knowing that the roof of your house is going to cave in every 5 years. You could really make some plans to mitigate that loss. But, you know, think about how your roof could cave in at any time. And that's the reality.
Yeah, okay. Your MGA is called Adverse Selection. How did you come up with that name?
Oh, I'm actually rather pleased with this. It's Adverse Selection because you need the insurance in the event of an adverse election. But Adverse Selection is also an insurance principle. So that means insurance is only purchased by people who are likely to use it. So, you know, high-risk individuals.
Exactly.
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 Well, I wish you the very best, Admiral, although personally, I think it's going to be a commercial disaster and that you are going to lose money hand over fist. If you survive into 2025, what plans do you have for the future?
Well, you know, if this phase of the business plan works, we're going to branch out into Hollywood. You know, they say that politics is showbiz for ugly people. Well, I like to think of showbiz as politics for stupid people. So I'm currently planning an insurance policy that will provide a form of Hollywood reputation management in protecting against cancellation or being tricked by Ant and Dec or losing an Oscar, that kind of thing.
Before we finish, Avril, I'm interested to know what your surname, Lepitra, translates as.
It's a loose definition, but I would say entertainer.
Actually, I've looked it up in my dictionary and it says clown.
Well, I mean, that's certainly one definition, but entertainer is in many ways the more juste.
So it's one translation of your name, at least, is potentially April's clown, which is interesting, isn't it?
Well, it's a family name. Not my family's, but probably someone's family's.
Finally, Admiral Lepitra. Please, could you give us a word of wisdom based on your experience of the insurance industry so far?
I think if people have listened this far, then they've learned a big enough lesson already. And I guess always engage critical thinking and always keep an eye on the date.
Thank you, Avril. That was wonderful. Thank you so much for your time.
RPC Radio. Radio.
Thank you to Lauren Butler for playing the role of Avril Lepitra, and to the person who wrote the script. You know who you are, and thank you. And thank you as well for listening to Insurance Cupboard, which is an RPC production made possible by Joe Burgess and Mary Mitchell. If you enjoyed this podcast, you'll also love our other RPC podcasts, Taxing Matters, Money Covered, and The Work Couch. Thank you once again for listening, and I hope you have a great day.